together now.
Celebrate Pride in the Capitol with Sam LaPrade and Jason White.
Okay, Jason White, they have led us out of the studio. We are on Bank Street, Bank in Gloucester, because it's all things Capitol Pride. Are you having fun?
I am having a blast, as I always do every year.
Fantastic.
You know, we've been doing what? This is the fourth year we've done this.
Yes.
This has lasted longer than a lot of relationships.
Mine too. Details
of that, but this is a good working relationship.
This is.
It's always a blast getting to co-host this with you.
And I'm still waiting to try and find an opportunity to make you giggle. So that's, we need people to stay tuned for that.
There's 1 hour left in the show.
For sure, there you go. All things Capitol Pride, of course, today, and it just wouldn't be a Capitol Pride show without speaking with the one and only Faye Johnstone. Hi, Faye.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Okay, so how excited? We've been talking about this for months,
mm-hmm.
and we're here. We're here together, Bank in Gloucester. You have a huge role this weekend. Talk me through it.
So as Grand Marshal of the parade this year, I get to lead the march. I get to hang out in a convertible, which is a good time.
Very cool.
But my real hope, as we see this rise in hate across the country, is to bring back the tradition of Pride as a protest. And so I will be leading the parade in honor of our elders who fought for a better future for all of us and in recognition that we still have a long way to go.
Absolutely, we certainly do. Talk to me about last night.
Mm-hmm.
We watched you get ready for a very important, march yesterday. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, so every year, usually on the Friday or Saturday of the Pride Festival, we host the Trans March. And historically, it's, maybe 200-300 people coming together. It's a very community-oriented march. But this year, because of this rise in hate, especially targeting trans kids, we wanted to go above and beyond. And Ottawa showed up like nobody's business. We had maybe 3,000 people marching through this city saying that trans kids are not alone and that we as a city will not stand for hate.
Okay, so we talked earlier in the week. I got the sense that you were going to be happy if there was like 500 people there. So this blew you away, right?
Oh, absolutely. Most marches in Ottawa, where we are a government town, and we love that about ourselves, but it's harder to get people out compared to Toronto or Montreal. But as we saw yesterday, this issue matters to people, and residents are worried about an atmosphere that's getting more hateful towards trans kids. And then, indeed, we showed up. We broke a record, we took over downtown, and we shouted loudly and proudly for trans kids and trans rights.
That's amazing. I always think about events like that. I always think about the one person. Like, I know you made impact on lots of people, but just think about one person that maybe just went home yesterday thinking about things a little bit differently, feeling maybe more supported, and maybe it was an opportunity to sort of think about their lives differently, even, Faye.
Absolutely. Going into the march, I had in top of mind the 15-year-old trans kid. And we had a lot of them out with us yesterday. The kid who may not always be safe at school, maybe bullied because they're trans, or might not have supportive parents. And what they would have seen at the march yesterday was trans people, allies, friends, city counselors, organizations, and they now know that they're not alone. And we always say, you're not alone, there's other people out there, but to see it and to feel it viscerally means the world. And that's what I know so many of those kids walked away with yesterday.
So talk to me about it every day. We're in Capitol Pride Week, which we love so much, but talk to me about it every day. What are people facing every day as trans people that are trying to live their every day? Is it hard some days?
Absolutely. I remember the first day I walked out of my home as my honest self, as a trans woman, and my legs were shaking.
Wow.
Leaving your apartment actually just around the corner from here with makeup and woman's clothing, immediately everyone looks at you different. Like, you're a lightning rod for attention. I am 5'11". I got a deep voice and big shoulders. I'm still built like a hockey jock. And so people notice you. And so the everyday for a lot of trans people, it's not that hate and harassment is in every moment, but it's that people will look at you strangely. And frequently enough, there will be those moments where somebody glares at you, makes a joke, or says something. And so for a lot of us, we are still just trying to live our best lives. And there's the everyday ickiness, but then there's also, employment discrimination, homelessness, poverty. These are issues that our community still faces in a big way. And that's why events like this, Pride in particular, means the world, because it shows that we can both celebrate and uplift and be, together as a community, but we can also demand more and demand that none of us deserve to walk these streets worried about our safety.
Who needs to hear you that hasn't been listening?
I mean, there's certain politicians these days, especially provincially in New Brunswick and Saskatchewan, that I imagine have never had a conversation with a trans person, let alone a trans teen. But then there's also the folks who are maybe watching Fox News or, you know, getting their access of information from different sources, who've been told all of these things about trans people, that we're scary, that we're dangerous, that we're these, you know, radical people trying to come for your kids. And I think they need to see that trans people are your friends, your family. There are factory workers, our union members, our teachers. We are trying to live our lives, and we want the same freedoms, the same rights, and the same opportunity that everyone else has access to.
So dream for me. Take me a decade from now. What's the conversation you and I are having?
It's a world where no kid has to come out in the first place, where no kid is homeless because their family can't accept them, where we have access to health care, and we're able to celebrate our community and our culture and our extremely rich culture without having counter-protesters showing up at those spaces. That is a world where everybody, be you queer, trans, cis, or straight, is able to be ourselves free of these stigmas and gender norms that hold everybody back.
So today, of course, we're down here at Capitol Pride. I'm speaking with Faye Johnstone here on City News. We are obviously celebrating all things Capitol Pride tomorrow, a very big day as the Grand Marshal. Today's going to be a big day as well, but take me to tonight. Maybe it's a quiet moment just with yourself, and you start to reflect about the fact that tomorrow, being Sunday, you're going to be the Grand Marshal. Take me to when you were 15. Would you have ever in a million years think that you would be, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it, that you would be the Grand Marshal?
So 15-year-old me was a radically different person from who's sitting beside you right now. I grew up in a military family in small communities across Canada, and I never knew about queer or trans people. I was actually the kid, every stereotype of the gay closeted kid who's saying all of the homophobic things as a way of deflecting those criticisms from themselves. And so 15-year-old me would be scared of who I am today, but I think there would be a glimmer in 15-year-old me's eyes seeing that you don't have to keep hiding who you are, and that people will actually love and support you and back you up if you show them a vulnerable side of yourself. If you show them who you actually are, they will love you for that, and you don't need the facade anymore.
Wow. I need to let all that sink in for a second. So tomorrow you're going to be in this convertible, and you've got a great outfit. I know you do.
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah. But I'm not telling you anything about
it. Okay. I'll have to see it tomorrow, which I'll be so excited. I'm representing Rogers TV tomorrow, of course. So happy to do that and sharing everything about the parade. When you look out to everybody that is enjoying the parade, of course, about 10,000 people participating, who are you hoping to see tomorrow?
I want to see moms and dads of queer and trans kids. I want to see those kids in all of their rainbow glory showing up and celebrating. And I want to see our allies, because I think we are seeing this rise in hate. And I'm leading the parade in the Pride tradition of a protest. And so I want them to know that showing up at Pride means the world. But right now we need folks to show up on the Monday, the Tuesday, and all the weeks and months to follow, because the fight that's coming for us right now, the hate that's directed at us, it's not just about queer and trans people. It is targeted at us, but it's about who we want to be as a society. Do we want to be a society that accepts diversity, equity, and human rights? Or do we want one where we go back to the misogyny, the racism, the homophobia of the 50s and 60s? And so my message to folks at the Pride Parade will be celebrate and organize.
Okay, that was amazing. You don't even need me here. Faye Johnstone, thank you so much for joining us. I know how busy this weekend is for you, for Capitol Pride. Tomorrow is a very big day, encouraging everyone to come to the parade and see you as Grand Marshal. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And to everyone listening, happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Absolutely. Happy Pride to you, Jason White.
Absolutely.
And how wonderful for Faye to join us. We know, obviously, a very, very busy day, very important topics. We talked about some stuff that was emotional there. This is 4 years in a row that I've cried during the Pride show. I've got emotional.
there's a lot to unpack, and you know, so important, such an important point, I think, celebrate and organize it, of talking about, you know, all the work that's still to be done. We're having a party. We're having a good time today.
Right.
Everybody loves a party. Ottawa loves a festival, but it's about, okay, what do we do on Monday morning?
Oh, I love
and
that.
And what happens after that, and how do we just, you know, treat people and treat each other the way we want to treat each other, and how do we make the kind of society we want to make?
Beautifully said. Jason White and I are down here at Capitol Pride, the Pride Festival, of course, such an important time in our city. Make no mistake about it, we've got lots of great guests coming for you. We're here right till 2 o'clock. We'd love you to stop by and see us. And of course, if you're coming down to the parade tomorrow, make sure you planned for your for other parking or taking public transit. It's going to be very busy, but incredible down here. So we want to make sure that we see everybody here. I'm Sam LaPrade. Stay with us on City News.
Sam LaPrade will be right back on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
All together now. Celebrate Pride in the Capitol with Sam LaPrade and Jason White.
Pride Day, and of course, we are having the time of our lives down here. Jason White and I are meeting so many people in the community. Did you notice I just about missed getting on air here because we were giving hugs out?
And I wasn't being your minder. We're a team. We need to look out for one another, but there's so many people who are stopping by, saying hello. It's a great atmosphere down here.
It's a great atmosphere with lots of great guests. Jason White, you take it away.
Absolutely. You know, we've got our next guest from the Ten Oaks Project, Tara Patterson, one of the board members with the Ten Oaks Project. Tara, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jason.
For the uninitiated, give me the rundown, the Coles notes. What is the Ten Oaks Project?
The Ten Oaks Project is an organization in Ottawa that runs programs for children and youth from 2S LGBTQI families and identities. Our flagship programs are camps that run every summer, and they're for kids who either have queer parents or who themselves are coming out as queer or trans or exploring their gender identities.
Absolutely. And so, like a camp, like a typical summer camp, like an overnight away from home camp, right?
Absolutely, except that it allows children and youth who might not feel comfortable in some of those more traditional outdoor spaces to be themselves and to celebrate who they are. And we also have programs at camp that are specific to education or exploration around their identities as queer kids or as kids who come from families, from queer families.
Like such as?
So we might have a centered space for those who are trans feminine or who are exploring their femininity, and we're assigned male at birth. We do some educational stuff around gender-affirming gear. So, you know, I might be exploring wearing a chest binder. What does that even mean? What does that look like? And it gives them opportunities to ask those questions in a comfortable environment with peers and with older folks who may share their identity. But they also, you know, get to play camp games and swim and run around outside like you would at any other camp.
Absolutely. And you mentioned about, you know, asking those questions and getting that information. I mean, mom and dad might be super supportive, but just don't know. They maybe don't have this experience. So it's super important to give kids that space where they can ask those questions, right?
Absolutely it is. And that's also why we run programs year-round for families. So one of our other programs is called Families in Transition, and it addresses just the issues that you are identifying, Jason. So it's a program for parents whose children or child has come out as either trans or is saying that they're exploring their gender or there might be non-binary. And it gives them all of the resources they need to both understand their kid and support their kid so that they can have a positive home environment.
Yeah. And so what might that look like for those parents? Is it, you know, in-person classes they attend? Is it educational materials they're provided with? A little bit of both?
Both. So far it's been online because it was a program that started during the pandemic, but it still allows parents to meet other parents whose kids might be going through something similar as their own. And it's a weekly 10-week program where they have an opportunity to ask their questions and learn about different topics throughout, and then also connect with each other and build a bit of a community for parents who can then work with each other to support their kids.
Well, exactly. And I was going to say, like, nobody knows what you've been through like someone who is also going through it. So classes and structured information sessions, those are great, but making those connections connections is so key.
Absolutely, and that's actually why we have another program that's new this year called Trans About Town, which allows trans people from all generations to get together and just have fun. Because yes, we need to protest, just like Faye Johnstone was saying before the break, and we need to learn like our Families in Transition program does, but we also need spaces where we can celebrate and just allow people to be themselves.
And I think, you know, so often people get the impression or people think, you know, being gay or lesbian or trans or bisexual, it's this struggle. It's always a fight. It's always, but sometimes we just need to let our hair down.
Absolutely. I think it can be both. I think there's times where experiencing homophobia or experiencing transphobia is really hard, and it's getting harder with the rise in hate that we have seen this year in particular. But there's also times where it's a gift. It is a gift to be part of a community that is so vibrant, that can be so supportive, and that can really bring out the best in people.
You mentioned something. I'm curious. Are you starting to hear from the kids involved and the youth involved in different Ten Oaks programs and projects about the effects they're feeling of this rise in hate? Because us grown-ups, us big people, we notice it, we hear it, we see it. Are the kids starting to take this in, and how's that affecting them?
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, I think when there is a protest at your school because parents who have been, you know, indoctrinated with hateful misinformation choose to show up to say that you or your peers aren't allowed to be who they are, then there's no way that these youth and children can't notice it. And that is happening in Ottawa. Similar if there's an event at your local library that's a drag story time event and you see people holding hateful signs, the children and youth are waking up, and I think many of them are understandably afraid. This is a targeted effort to try and keep queer kids in the closet and to try and instill fear in parents and adults about queer kids being themselves.
Yeah. About how many kids would you say the Ten Oaks Project helps in a year, not just the camp, but across all of the programs? Like, how many kids are we talking about in the Ottawa area?
Several hundred. We have hundreds of kids attend our camp programs every summer, and then more who show up to Trans About Town, who come to the Families in Transition program. And if you want to talk about really, really young kids, we also run a program called Shaping Parenthood, which is information sessions for queer people, queer and trans people, to learn about how to build their families. And it's given me a lot of information as to how I can build my family as a queer person, too.
Absolutely. I was looking over the website, and one of the phrases I saw was empowerment through play on the Ten Oaks Project website. And, you know, we kind of talked about the importance of just having fun. Why is that so key, though? Why is that such a valuable strategy, empowerment through play?
Yeah, I mean, I think for all young people, play can be a really important aspect of their development. And I think when you're part of a community or your family looks different from other people's families, often it is the joy that is robbed from them first, be that through bullying or through experiences of getting a lot of questions instead of just being able to be themselves as they are. And so we recognize that that joy needs to be fostered. It needs to be celebrated. And so kids can be empowered when they're given spaces to play just as they are, coming from just the families that they deal.
What is it that keeps you going in this work, in your involvement with the Ten Oaks Project? Is it, you know, when you see those young people come in and kind of come into more of their own, feeling more comfortable in their own skin, what is it that fuels you to keep going in this?
I think it's exactly what you said. It's the youth. It's the children and youth who show up despite the hatred, despite bullying, despite, you know, attacks on their families or on people they love, and who just want to be themselves and are willing to be themselves in the face of that kind of hatred, even though they shouldn't have to be. But seeing young people celebrate themselves and each other is one of the most exciting things, I think, for anybody, especially when they're from communities that might not always have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's great if your parents or your household, your belly button family are supportive. A lot of kids don't have that, right? And I'm sure your work is to be there for those kids as well.
Totally. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Is there a particular story or a particular moment that you're like, okay, this is all worth it? This episode, this really confirms why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Oh, I mean, there's hundreds of them. I would say seeing a kid who comes to camp and might be really shy or nervous the first few days and leaves with a whole group of friends, or might have, you know, two moms and has never met anybody else who also has two moms, or whose parent came out and transitioned when they were very young, and they meet other people who had that experience too, and they leave with a whole bunch of friends. friends. That is a story or an episode that repeats itself every summer and is worth witnessing.
Absolutely. What would you want to say to someone who's listening right now? What would be the thought if they take nothing else away from this conversation? What would you like to leave them with?
Support to LGBTQI kids and youth. There is a concentrated effort right now to scare people with misinformation, to suggest that queer and trans youth don't exist or that they're being groomed to exist, and that is hateful. And so showing up for them, showing up for your own children, for children in your life, letting them know that they can be whoever they are, because they're not going to come out if it's not safe to do so, I think is critically important.
Yeah, and we're showing up here today.
Absolutely.
Showing up yesterday for the trans march, the thousands of people, and all weekend long. Thank you so much for being here and for making time to chat with us about this.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Tara Patterson, one of the board members of the Ten Oaks Project.
Whenever I think about the Ten Oaks Project, Jason, I think about Julia Wegg and Holly Wegg, who started this organization so many years ago. The late Julia Wegg, we miss her terribly, and I know how passionate they were to start this organization, to see how it's flourished, and share today about this on our Pride Show. It just makes my heart go flutter.
Absolutely. I might not have giggled yet, but I have been having feelings. This gruff beardo, grumpy old news anchor, get me in the feels today, Sam.
I get you. I see it with my very own eyes. I'm seeing a lot with my very own eyes today. It is very busy down here at Pride Festival. It's all things Capital Pride. We're getting ready, of course, for the big parade tomorrow, but make no mistake about it. If you can't make it tomorrow, come on down here today and see us. We're right at the corner of Bank and Gloucester. Stay with us on City News.